With Strings Attached, Chapter 1, Part 2. But the thunder faded, the wind died down, and the two found themselves gasping for breath in the sunshine. Still attached, they sat in the sand and stared at the moon over the forest. "Right," whispered John. "I think that proves I didn't do this." Paul blinked. "Yeah." Wetness on John's hand made him notice he was shredding Paul, and he disengaged his nails from Paul's arm. "Are you okay, man?"
"Yeah."
Paul seemed oblivious to the damage. John's shirt was tight between Paul's fingers, but Paul let go, his hand drifting up to touch his chin, when John gently pulled away.
"I hope he's okay," John thought. "I hope I'm okay."
He was, in fact, feeling unusually calm and collected, his earlier panic having vanished entirely.
"I suppose I'm okay."
Noticing that Paul's blood had reddened his fingernails, he got up and walked to the edge of the water, knelt, and swished his hand around. As he straightened up, dripping, he realized, "I have to take a pee. I wonder if there are toilets here. Wherever here is." He glanced vaguely about for a restaurant or a Porto sand. Then he found himself rubbing his wet hand on his shirt. "Who dressed us?" he said aloud, and pulled off the shirt to get a better look at it. Nothing indicated its origin, not even a label. "Hope it don't need to be dry cleaned," he murmured, wiping his glasses on it before putting it back on. His shoes and socks were equally generic, and he didn't feel like checking his jeans. With nothing left to do, he returned to Paul, sat cross-legged next to him, and began to dibble a hole in the sand. Eyes still locked on the forest moon, Paul let loose with a huge sigh, as if he had been holding his breath for 10 minutes.
"It's real! It's bloody real! We're on another planet!"
Withdrawing his hand from the hole and wiping it on his pants, John said, "Yeah, looks like.
Or I've gone completely mad."
"Either you have or I have."
"Huh."
John chuckled weakly. "I hope it's you and I'm just a figment of your imagination." Paul sat, deciding. Finally he said, "I'm pretty sure it's real," and turned away from the moon, locked eyes with John.
"It's either real or it's not, right?"
"Right, I think that covers all the options." "Well, I read a book where the hero got bunged into a real world, but he just thought he was going mad."
"Yeah, so?"
"So he almost got killed." "I reckon we'd sort of better assume it's real, 'cause if it is, and we think it isn't, and we run into something that wants to eat us, and we think, oh, nothing can hurt us, it's just a mad fantasy." Here Paul had to take a breath. John giggled. "So I shouldn't tell Darth Vader to fuck off if he pushes us around, if he's around here."
"Wouldn't that be lovely," Paul muttered. "God, what could be around here?"
"Us!" John jumped to his feet and pounded on his chest, breathed deeply of the fresh air. "What a nice day! What say we suss out the sand? I'd fancy a bit of breakfast myself."
"How can you be hungry at a time like this?"
Paul put his chin in his hands. Then his eyes widened and he patted his face. "Why didn't I notice? I've been shaved!" John explored his own smooth face.
"Well, we got the whole potato, didn't we? New clothes, haircuts, shaves. Suppose we gotta look pretty to be eaten. Messy people probably make aliens fart. So how about brekkie, then?"
"I'm in no great hurry to find out what's out there," murmured Paul. Nevertheless, he got to his feet and walked back to retrieve the guitars, no sense abandoning the only things they had in the world. If nothing else, they could serve as clubs. John saluted him as he returned, accepted the right-hand guitar, and marched up off the beach, with the trees and the round moon off to their left, and the water and the crescent moon to the right. Paul plodded along behind, looking at the ground. After some minutes of water and sand, during which the round moon vanished below the trees and the crescent moon began to fade into the daylight, the gauze clogging Paul's brain began to unwrap. His thoughts became keener, his head lifted, he walked faster, and he started to notice things. Great leafy bushes growing in the sand, about waist high and rather like giant heads of lettuce, the click-click of a falling oyster, or oyster-like thing, as a patient brown bird, or bird-like thing, dropped it again and again on a half-buried rock to break it open. The suspicious gaze of a jackrabbit, or rabbit-like thing, standing on the rise, whiskers quivering,
watching the strangers pass, and John humming Magical Mystery Tour. Paul drew abreast of John to study his face. John batted his eyelashes at him and continued to hum. "He's gone mad," Paul thought, dropping back. "Can't blame him. I do wish Linda were here instead of him. Still, I'd rather be here with a daft John than by myself. You know, I really wouldn't mind seeing an alien or a troll or something." Paul cringed a little, half expecting one to materialize at his request. When nothing happened, he continued in a bolder tone of thought, "Not close up, of course, at a distance, but wouldn't that be something? I'd be the only Earth person to know they really exist. Well, John, too. Don't reckon it's worth dying for, but if there was some safe way..." John stopped at a lettuce bush. "Half a tick, I gotta take a pee." "Is it safe?" Paul said, daring to poke the alien leaves with the toe of his shoe. "Maybe these are the people." "Well, they should like what I'm going to give them, then." When the plant didn't rise up and consume John, Paul emptied his own bladder as well, commenting, "It seems sort of weird to have to pee here. I mean, nobody ever does on Star Trek or in Lord of the Rings or any of those things. It just seems a bit crass." John snorted. "Maybe they don't water the crass in fiction, but they do in real life." They zipped up and resumed their trek. Paul watched for alien traces. Saucers in the sky, hands with swords reaching from the water, giants emerging from a cloud castle. Thus, he was the first to see two humanoid shapes approaching from the meadow. A shock of fear went through him, but it melted away when one of the figures hoisted a guitar. "We are not alone," John intoned solemnly, raising his guitar in reply. Ringo Starr ran like a freed hostage to meet John and Paul. "Hey! Hey!" he yelled, waving a tambourine in his left hand. Cling, cling, cling. He didn't look scared so much as desperate. Meanwhile, George Harrison continued to trudge in their general direction, dragging his guitar through the grass. His angular face was pale, eyes glazed under his heavy brows. Both he and Ringo had been dressed in the white shirts and jeans, and both had the Beatle haircuts. They looked very young, especially George, with his ears sticking out below the hairline. Paul and John stopped short. That really was Beetle Ringo bearing down on them, face clear and unlined, the gray streak in his hair stark against the brown. And George was no longer the weathered hippie millionaire in the Gothic mansion, but the beardless boy with cheek and a garage band. John's normally half-lidded eyes were very big. "Jesus, they're bloody kids!" "They must have been taken from our past," breathed Paul, a little dizzy. "Or they've drunk from the fountain of..." Alarms went off in their heads at the same moment. They slowly turned to face one another.